from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to a very special Dan Tortora Broadcast Media Top 15 of 2015. You know Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You also know Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. This is the bonding of both, so you can hear it on both. You go to wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile, or you can also go to largerthanlifedt.podbean.com/mobile, and you will hear this show on both. Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora and Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora have bonded together to bring you the top 15 movies of 2015, but I will not do it alone. My top 15 movies may not be the same as yours or the next person that's sitting right there on the couch with you, and it's not going to be the same as my co-host right here, Nicolo Cicero. That's the fun of it all, is to bring you two different feels and to open your eyes to some you might not have thought of, some you might want to see, some you love, some you don't like so much, and to feel free to comment. So make sure that you do that. You can go and find me on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT and on Twitter at CallDT, CallDT. There's also a way to do it with Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. That's Facebook.com/LargerThanLifeDT and on Twitter at DTOnComics. So however you do it, thank you so much. You'll see the posts out there. And however you're listening, we appreciate it. Nicolo Cicero, my producer and a very, very good friend of mine, part of my family, is here with me to do the top 15 movies of 2015 from 15 to 1. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited to talk some movies with you.
All right, well, as we did it before, I will hand it to you first, 15, and we'll go all the way to the top movie, in our opinion, of 2015 from what we've seen, 15 to 1. We're starting at the bottom. Now we're here. 15, what is it for you?
Yeah, number 15 on my list is Steve Jobs.
What do you do? You're not an engineer. You're not a designer. You can't put a hammer to a nail. I built the circuit board. The graphical interface was stolen. So how come 10 times in a day I read Steve Jobs as a genius? What do you do?
Musicians play their instruments. I play the orchestra.
I thought that movie, it was a pretty bad movie. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but it was still an insight to a fascinating guy. And it didn't live up to much of the hype that I wanted. I thought it was, I don't know, it's just a poor script, I think. I didn't like the direction they took with the story. But I find Steve Jobs fascinating, and it was neat getting at least a glimpse inside some of his story.
Well, see, Steve Jobs, I didn't go to see it because it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of push behind it once it came out, and I thought the movie kind of flopped in that sense. And by what you're saying, it kind of did, wasn't what, you know, people wanted it to be. But like you said, it's a look inside the life, and I want to know more about Steve Jobs. And I have to find another way to do it, and that's I didn't see the movie because I didn't feel like it was maybe going to hold up to it. My number 15 is of the Divergent series, Insurgent, the second installment.
You are the key, Triss, to rescue a little civilization we have left.
No pressure.
I'm not going to let you do it.
Which I really like it with Shailene Woodley. Is that how I say it, Nick? You know all the ladies.
Yeah, so, Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley, who was supposed to be Mary Jane Watson. Shout out to Marvel, make it happen, because she was. I think she would have played a good role with that. I like her as an actress. She actually started on ABC Family in these. She gets pregnant as a teenager. What's it called?
Secret Life of a Teenage Daughter or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Secret Life of a Teen. I was going to say Secret Life of a Pregnant Teen. So I guess that's not.
Something like
that's
that.
That's not the name.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that was her.
Yeah, that is her. So, Divergent series, Insurgent. I like it. I go to see a lot of these with my dad, Mel, and my wife's dad, and I call him dad as well, and so blessed to have two dads. And we went to go see Insurgent, just like we saw Divergent, and I look forward to the sequel, Detergent, and it will be very it'll be a lot of fun. So Insurgent
was fun. I will say that someone brought me onto that like really late, like so. I watched Divergent sometime early this year and really enjoyed it. So I was excited about Insurgent. Watched it. I was a little bit let down, so that's why it didn't make my list because I didn't find it to be as good as the original movie.
Yeah, and that was the hard part, and that's why I made my number 15. Is I was finding it hard to get that, you know, 15, 14 in there. So because I wasn't extremely happy with it, like I like Divergent a little bit more than Insurgent, so it made number 15, just made the cut for me. Number 14, Nick, what do you have?
Number 14, I'm going with Concussion, the movie about the NFL concussions.
I want you to say you made it all up. If they continue to deny my work, men continue to die. Sometimes in life, you're asked to leave it alone. But sometimes you can't. Who are you? Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Again, this one made it very low on the list. I will preface this, I don't see a lot of movies in the theater. So that's why some of these that I thought were bad movies still made the list. I will say The Concussion was a pretty darn boring movie, unfortunately. It had a good message, but Will Smith killed it. I'm a huge Will Smith fan. There's very little, even bad movies that he does, that I don't like him in, and this is the case. I think it's a boring movie, but Will Smith is worth the price.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's what I know. I saw Concussion as well. It's on my list, but it's not number 14. And what I can say about Concussion is the fact that, you know, what I was very surprised that people said, okay, you know, if you wanted to be compelling and you wanted to really do something about concussions in the world, then you should have chose somebody besides Will Smith because he's garbage and nobody buys into his character and nobody believes him. And you picked a terrible actor to try and tell a big story. And you just said the opposite, Nick. And I feel the opposite. Will Smith has really never done a bad movie besides, like, After Earth was, but that was an M. Night Shyamalan, and I feel bad for M. Night. He's kind of lost his thunder. He had The Sixth Sense, and he had The Village that some people liked, and he had Signs, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of become something a little bit, and he's not what it used to be, unfortunately, for M. Night Shyamalan, and I think that Will Smith got kind of trapped in that for a little while. But I think that Will Smith is a phenomenal actor, and I believe him whenever he does anything. But I would probably venture to say that I think The Pursuit of Happiness is the best role that he's ever taken upon as based on a true story character.
I like that. I agree with you.
My number 14, and this was another one that was hard to put on the list because I liked it for the cinematography of it all. I liked it for what I saw on screen. It would be great to see in IMAX with crazy booming sound, San Andreas.
This whole chunk of land will be decimated.
Are you saying the whole San Andreas fault might go off?
Everybody down! Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
It was a movie that I thought The Rock played a good role in it. I thought the actors did average. They didn't overwhelm me. They didn't make me go, oh my God, I got to go see a movie if they're in it again. So, I mean, I like The Rock, but it's number 14 because the acting was okay, but the actual view of the movie and just everything that happens from these earthquakes, it's really I don't want to say it's breathtaking, but it gets your attention. It pulls you in, and you're kind of, when they're underwater, you're underwater. When they're trying to breathe, you're trying to kind of catch a breath. So I will say that San Andreas did enough to go on my list, but it's at the bottom because it could have been better.
Didn't see the movie. May see it, you know, digitally. But I probably am along the lines with you. It's not something I wanted to pay for to see in the theater, but it's probably one that probably is best in the theater for the effects. So, but it's not one I'm really excited to rush out and see.
Well, number 13, as we move closer to number one, is there a movie that was here for you, Nick, that was exciting for you? Did it make the cut because it had to, or is number 13 a movie that you really enjoyed?
Number 13 was one I surprisingly enjoyed.
Okay.
I don't want to like Amy Schumer, but every time I see something with her, I laugh like crazy, and I love her, but I don't seek her out for some reason. I don't know what it is, but so I was hemming and hawing about seeing Trainwreck, but once I saw it, I thought it was a wonderful comedy. It's not going to be classic. It's not going to be one of the great things I go back and watch a lot, but it was pleasantly funny. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it did its job. It entertained me, and it made me laugh.
You follow sports?
Sports. I love them.
Who's your favorite team?
The Orlando Loons.
Do you want to get a drink?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you said that because, spoiler alert, Nick had concussion. I also have that on my list. Nick just said Trainwreck for number 13, and that's also on my list, but not at number 13. Concussion was your 14. Concussion is my 13. We talked about it already. I like the fact that things are being said about this. I think it's sad. I walked out of that movie being upset. You know, it's eye-opening, yeah. But it upsets you. I don't like seeing a lot of blood, so it kind of like made me squirm a little bit in the theater. But, but you know, I believe in Will Smith, and I want for the truth of it all to come out. Listen, I love the NFL. I love football. I play football. I have a flag football league, but we have a flag football league that's not tackle because of some of the thing, because of, you know, what you see in that movie and what you see in real life is that it is a very dangerous sport to play. So we do it for the love of the game and not trying to, like, knock people out. But, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard because you fall in love with the NFL, you fall in love with football, but then, you know, I also build relationships with players that play football. And with building those relationships with players and coaches, I don't ever want any of them to come to a point. I have some really good friends that were former players, and I could not imagine them losing their mind and me being around and seeing that. It would break my heart. So I hope that the right things are done, the right precautions are taken. I think the movie made you think, and for that, I can appreciate Will Smith and the movie Concussion as my number 13. Nick, what's your number 12?
My number 12 is Paper Towns.
The way I figure it, everyone gets a miracle. My miracle was I wound up living across the street from Margot Roth Spiegelman. She was inarguably the most gorgeous creature that God had ever created. Margot's life was a series of unbelievably epic adventures.
And the reason this is on my list is, again, this is one of those that pleasantly surprised me. I watched it, honestly, because I had not much else to watch at the time. I needed something to watch, so I viewed this one online. And one of the reasons that drew me to this one is because when I saw the commercials for it, it had this little mystery element to it that I wanted to figure out. I got drawn in by that. And also the fact that it takes place in Orlando. And what I think put it up a little bit higher on my list was the references to Orlando landmarks. Spoiler alert, I live in Orlando. It had references to things in Orlando a little bit. It was shot in Orlando, and so you see some...
You don't
some
have to say spoiler alert. I already sent out your address.
True. So it has some things like that. It makes you feel while you're watching it. Again, kind of like Trainwreck, it's not one I'm going to go back and watch time and time again, but it made me feel while I was watching it, and I enjoyed the ride that the characters were on.
My number 12 is not Paper Towns. I have not seen Paper Towns, but I'm somewhat intrigued to see it, and even more so now that you talked about it, Nick. My number 12 is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2.
My dear Miss Everdeen, mistake. The game is coming to its end.
Now, let me say this. I like the Hunger Games series. The first one is still my favorite. I do like these movies. I know that you have to go by what the book says and how it ends and blah, blah, blah. However, the last scene of the movie, when you're going to close something out, I want you to close it out big. I want you to give me something huge.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm not going to say what it is, but, you know, it follows the book. You know, it follows the book. So
yeah.
It has to be, you know, what the book has and whatever. But I felt like the big moments of the movie. There was one part of the movie that I was really hoping for, and then Katniss Everdeen, the girl on fire, did it. She made it happen. Spoiler alert for me, I didn't read the books, so I didn't know it was going to happen. And she did this thing, and I was like, thank you, Katniss. But the last scene, it was like, you got me up. Climax, rose in the movie to that climax of the movie. And then I kind of came down, and toward the end, I was like, give me something to believe in. And it was just like, have a good day, guys. And if the last 10 minutes were a little bit different, the movie would be a lot higher. But The Hunger Games, I'll give it to them. Mockingjay Part 2 makes it on the list because it's connected to the other three. Right. And I'm excited to see it for that. So
I'm excited to see it and close out the series. I enjoy Hunger Games, and I don't love it, but I enjoy it. So I'm excited to see it. No, maybe even this weekend. Who knows?
Number 11, Nicholas, where are you going?
Number 11, I'm going with Good Dinosaur.
That creature protected you.
What is his name?
I don't know.
I name him, I keep him. Killer.
Stinky.
Violent.
Smite.
Lunatic.
Smut. Smut. Come here, Smut, come here. Oh, ain't you just the cutest thing.
One of the Pixar films released this year. And, I wasn't let down by it because I wasn't... I was pretty excited. But you know what? Actually, I think it hit exactly where I thought it would hit. I wasn't over the moon like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And, Pixar does a great job, obviously, of making you feel about these characters, the emotions. And Good Dinosaur does that and has the visuals and it has cool dinosaurs in it. And I think that's what I really liked about it. And I liked the relationship between the dinosaur and the boy. But it wasn't a great Pixar film. It was middle-of-the-road Pixar, at best. It may even be a little lower than that. It may be given it higher marks because of the cool dinosaurs and the visuals and stuff like that. Visually, spectacular. Missed a little bit on the story, unfortunately, for me, as a Pixar film. As an animated film, it was great. As a Pixar film, I deduct a few points, and it's number 11.
Well, I haven't seen The Good Dinosaur yet. I do intend to see The Good Dinosaur, but I didn't expect it to be the best of the best. Here's the thing. I don't think Disney ever really knows. Did they know that Finding Nemo was going to do what it did? Probably not. You throw it out there, you have some high hopes, you do some test things, some trial runs, you have some people come in, view the movie, however you do it. But at the end of the day, did they think it was going to beat Lion King? Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe they did. But you never know if you're going to swing or miss. Here's the thing, though. The worst Pixar movies are still good movies for kids and are still done well. So The Good Dinosaur is something that I want to see, but I didn't run out to the movie theater to see it. My number 11 is The Furious 7.
Like it or not, you and your friends are a part of it now.
I don't have friends. I got family.
And I really have come to like the Fast and the Furious series. I didn't think that I would. I saw the first one. I kind of, skipped over a few, came back into the series. But I can say that I've liked it. And the tribute to Paul Walker was really nice. And I felt like they did it well. I hope they make another one. I know it'll be hard to. But the music and everything that went along with it, The Furious 7 was just a very action-packed, memorial, fun. It was a great way to bond reality with the fantasy of a movie and say thank you to Paul Walker. So that's why it makes my number 11.
It almost made my number 15, but it didn't make my list. It was an enjoyable action movie, though.
Well, for what did make your list, Nick, we've now hit the top 10. What's number 10 of your top 15 movies of 2015? Here with Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, myself, Dan Tortora, and Nicolo Cicero, we're in that top 10, Nick, so let's start there with 10.
Yeah, I struggled with this one, and I even don't even like its placement now. I wish it was higher, but I don't know what I can move out of my top 9. So Ant-Man's my number 10.
Did you think you could stop the future? You're just a thief.
No, I know. It wasn't my idea.
I
Boo. That's too low, man.
I went in with I think I went in with too high expectations, and I was brought down a couple notches once I saw it, because I don't think it was a spectacular movie. Although it was a really good heist movie, it was funny. Paul Rudd is incredible, and the effects were really, really good. I think overall, I just can't move it up this list. I think it was a very excellent Marvel movie. It's probably just above middle of the pack when you throw all the Marvel movies together. But it wasn't just that wow movie that a lot of these ones that are ahead of it were to me. And well, I think that's because I went in with too high expectations.
Well, here's the thing. You and I have found in this top 15 list of 2015 that we do have many of the same movies that are on our list. They're just in different places. So Ant-Man and Trainwreck, as I said before, Trainwreck, both on my list, but both not where Nick had them. My number 10 is Everest.
I have kids. They see it. Regular guy can follow impossible dreams. Maybe they'll do the same.
I'm on the top of Everest, Alan. We made it.
All right, guys. Time to go home.
I picked Everest as number 10 because Divergent, San Andreas, Concussion, Mockingjay Part 2, Furious 7, they all had good moments. But Everest, to me, was just a view of it. Just going to the movie and seeing everything, just taking it all in, feeling like you're on top of the mountain, seeing these people go through tough times. There's people freezing to death. There's all this stuff going on that you're like, are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? I felt like I had a vested interest in it. At one point, I felt like I knew the people. You just kind of feel like your shirt being pulled into the screen, and it made me think of Expedition Everest. It's at Walt Disney World, and that's one of my favorite rides of Animal Kingdom. So it's one of my favorite rides that I've ever been on in my life. So Everest made it because it connected me to things that I like, and I really was hoping. I wasn't hoping for a great story. I was just hoping for a really breathtaking, beautiful movie, and it hit that for me. So Everest makes my number 10 because it did all those things.
I never even thought about seeing that movie. Nothing ever really intrigued me about it. But
just cool to watch.
Said that. Yeah. I think I'll watch it, you know, in my home theater. That's not one. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe with the visuals, I should have went to the theater. But now that you're saying that, I'll check it out.
Well, I put it to you like this: the first ever IMAX movie that I saw was in the Bristol Omni Theater at the Most in Syracuse, New York, downtown, and it's a dome, so you kind of sit back. And you have everything around you. It's really beautiful. It's totally different. I thought every IMAX was like that. I found out very quickly that I was wrong. But when you're sitting in there, I saw they had an Everest show in the IMAX years and years ago. And I remember this one point where you're behind these guys that are climbing up the mountain, and they're kicking snow, and snow's falling by them, and it's coming right at you on the screen, and you feel like you're climbing the mountain with them, and that it's going to hit you. And after I saw Everest in IMAX, I said to myself, if they ever do a movie like this again, I gotta go see it. And I went to see this movie, this Everest, and I thought that this one was better than what I had seen in the Bristol Omni Theater a few years back. So, I mean, for that respect, it had to make my list, because it was something that I hoped to be a part of again, and I thought that it actually did better than the first time that I had seen Everest. So, credit to the people behind the movie. It was good. It's worth seeing. Don't think too much into it. Just go to see it for the whole nature of it all, and I think you'll appreciate it. Hey, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, here to tell you that the Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome, is your home for all pregame, postgame, and during the game excitement in Central New York. Make sure you come out for my live Syracuse pregame shows before Syracuse football and Syracuse men's basketball home games. We'll have a live pregame show for you there with me, Dan Tortora, and special guests throughout the season. Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, your local Central New York hotspot for all of your bar needs, as well as great food, great atmosphere, and a great time with the Central New York community. Right down the road from the Carrier Dome, be a part of Game Day at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissIg Lady.com, with the bamboo line relaxed fit clothing as well as the athletic fit clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DreissIg Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing. And don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissIg Lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You got to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's CAMS Pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Number nine, Nick, where are we going?
My number nine is one, maybe when this podcast is put out, not a lot of people have seen it yet because it really just came out, but it made an impact right away, and I'd like to see it again. It may go up higher in my list, but it's The Big Short.
Banks have conditioned us to trust them. What have we gotten from that? 25% interest rates on credit cards. They have screwed us on student loans that we can never get out from under.
You know, about the, you know, the stock market and stuff and all that. And, you know, based on, like, true crash that kind of happened, you know. But I think part of the genius of the movie is the cast. The cast coming together is amazing. It's one of the better movies I've seen in a long, long time. And it's just thoroughly enjoyable. It has, like, kind of, you know, that real-world element to it. But, you know, kind of dramatized, but there's, like, some comedy and just really, really good acting. It's incredibly good acting. It's fun to see all those actors up on the stage, so I loved it.
Well, The Big Short is one of the movies that I want to see, and you brought up that point that at the time of us doing the top 15 of 2015, there might be a lot of people out there that haven't seen it yet. This is one of the movies you go to see just because of the people that you hear that are in the movie.
Right, totally.
And you give it a shot. But did you really like the story? Did you feel the story was good?
Yeah, I thought it was. Let's see, who's trying to pull the cast? Ryan Gosling, Steve Carell, just a lot of good actors in it. The director was Adam McKay, who did the Anchorman movies, which I was pleasantly surprised about how he did with this movie as well. It's a little different than his normal thing.
And The Big Short, which, like you said, going down the cast list of the people.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, Matthew. Ryan Gosling. You have Christian Bale that was also a part of it. There's a lot of different people that are in this movie, and they really, I mean, they bring a lot to it. They make you want to go see it. They make you want to give it a chance, and I like seeing movies with Steve Carell in it. So, you know, this is a movie that I'm sure that I will make my way out to see. I haven't seen it yet, but it's kind of one of those things that's on the list of saying, well, if I did see it, potentially it could be in my top 15 of 2015. My number 9 that did make my list, because I was pleasantly surprised with this. I didn't see the first one. So when I went to see the second one, I went to a marathon and saw them back-to-back with my dad, with Mr. Melvin. We went and saw these back-to-back. He had been telling me for a couple years now, you got to go see this movie. You really got to give it a chance. It's a good book. It's a good movie. And the closer that we got to the second one, I said, listen, why am I going to watch, you know, why am I going to rent the movie and spend my money renting it and watch it at home when I can just watch them together for the first time ever back to back? Which is really cool. Because you think about it this way. When you see a movie, like you see Avengers, so to speak, and you have to wait 2-3 years for another one, you know, you get antsy, and you get, like, as soon as that movie ends, you want to go see it. But when you see a double feature and you procrastinated on the first one like I did, you have to wait, I don't know, a half an hour? You go take a bathroom break, refill your soda, and you get to see the second movie immediately, which how awesome would that be in life? And that is the Maze Runner series. I saw Maze Runner right next to Maze Runner The Scorch Trials.
I really only have one question. Whose side are you on?
Thomas! The maze is one thing. The two kids wouldn't last one day out in the scorch.
And I can pleasantly say, this is a movie that I walked into not knowing anything. I didn't expect anything, kind of like when I started with Hunger Games. And it's great to walk into a movie and go, I just hope it's good. I have no expectations. And I walked out of the movie going, huh, I can't wait for the next one. So Maze Runner The Scorch Trials made my list, and it made number 9 because it pleasantly surprised me, and it makes me kind of want to read the books. So credit to The Maze Runner. I thought it was good.
All right, I'll have to go check it out.
Did you see the first one?
No.
Well, see, that's the thing. I never saw the first one. So when you get to see them back to back, it was really cool. It was really nice to see how... And they were two totally different movies, but you know how when you see a series, we talked about Divergent, and how Divergent was good and Insurgent kind of went down. Hunger Games kind of goes up and down and whatnot. Normally when you go to the next installment, it's like, oh, more of the same, and it goes down a little bit under the line. The second Maze Runner, to me, actually pushed it and said, we went here in the first movie. The second movie's not going to look like it. It's going to feel different. And they actually, to me, in my opinion, shot up a mark and said, okay, number three better be better than this. So, you know, I put it on my list and I put it so high because I don't think that sequels always push you to do better. And in this case, The Maze Runner did better with The Scorched Trials. And we are now to number eight in that respect. So, Nick, I hand it to you. You're number eight in the top 15 movies of 2015. You haven't sounded very excited about the majority of the movies that you've said so far. So I'm hoping that the energy in number eight will kick up here. Is number eight a good movie for you, and what is it?
Yeah, here's where we start getting excited. The next eight were films I really, really enjoyed. I had to put together 15, so some movies I didn't really, really like had to be on this list.
Yeah, the last seven were the ones that Nick slept through.
Number eight is The Avengers Age of Ultron. Fantastic Avengers film, but not as good as the first one. But I think I didn't really necessarily like the premise of this, you know, floating piece of Earth that, you know, they had to save and stuff like that. But James Spader as Ultron made the movie. It was fantastic, and it was what it was. I mean, it was what it was supposed to be. It was a good film bringing the Avengers together, had good comedy, and I liked the new characters as well.
Again, I have that same movie on my list, but in a different place, but for a lot of the same reasons, and we'll get to that coming up here in the top 15 movies of 2015 through Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, here with Dan Tortora, as well as Nicolo Cicero, my producer, who has joined me for these top 15. And you can listen, and you are listening, on wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile and on largerthanlifedt.podbean.com/mobile. And my number eight is The Wedding Ringer.
Please help me. I don't know what else to do.
Okay, if I do this, you need to understand that this is strictly a business relationship. You're not buying a new friend, you're hiring your best man.
Got it.
I'm assuming you made up a name for me.
Vic Mitchum.
I wear a cape.
Hey, ladies, what's going on? My name is Vic.
I'm Vic Mitchum, and I love candy.
Vic Mitchum can have whatever he wants.
All right. I like it.
So I will get to my thoughts on Age of Ultron soon, but not yet. My number eight goes to The Wedding Ringer, which is a comedy. Kevin Hart. I love Kevin Hart. He is one of those people that I will go out and I will see any movie he is in, I will go out and see it for the most part up to this point. The Wedding Ringer was better than I thought it would be. Get Hard is not on my list because I thought that Kevin Hart with Will Ferrell, it just wasn't a funny movie. And outside of Ron Burgundy, I really don't like Will Ferrell's characters in movies. So I didn't put Get Hard on the list, but The Wedding Ringer made it, and they made number eight because Kevin Hart not only did a great job like he always does, but the co-person on this movie, the co-actor, the co-lead, the one that really made the movie is someone that Nick can appreciate because he loves Frozen and he loves Olaf. And that is Josh Gad, who played I'm going to call them the two leads, which Kevin Hart is with Josh Gad, and Josh Gad hires him to plan to become essentially the best man to his wedding because he doesn't have friends. And he not only hires him, but says, you know, you got to go out and find me more groomsmen because I don't have any. So this movie just really kind of takes you, it's kind of like Hitch, but instead of Hitch with relationships, it's Hitch with trying to build, you know, instead of trying to find a woman for a guy, you're trying to find him friends. And so in that case, it was cool, but it went away from that. It didn't feel the same as Hitch. It wasn't like watching the same movie. And I really think that Josh Gad and Kevin Hart, I hope they do another movie together. They're very funny. It was very great to see them. And there's so many different moments, it's hard to pick the ones that really made me stop and say, okay, that's the reason why I would tell somebody to watch the movie, because there's a lot. So it makes my top 10. It's hard to find a good comedy these days, and that's why The Wedding Ringer is my number 8.
Yeah, I didn't love the movie as a whole, but I liked Gad and Hart together. They had great chemistry and good comedy together, and there were good moments, but I just didn't like the film overall.
So Nick doesn't go that way. He goes with Age of Ultron for number 8. I went with The Wedding Ringer. And now we are on to number 7. And keep in mind that Nick and I have had a few that are the same, just at different numbers here. But the movies have made the top 15. And those will be coming up here on this broadcast. Nick, you're number 7. What do you got?
Number 7 is Tomorrowland, the Disney film with George Clooney.
Saw was a place where the best and the brightest people in the world came together to actually change it. We've been looking for someone like you for a very long time.
Surprised you didn't name the girl of that movie first.
Yeah, you know what's really funny? I'm having a Britt Robertson. Britt Robertson, right? I believe is her name. Yeah. Couldn't think of her name right away.
Yeah, Britt Robertson, you are correct.
Yeah. Look, this wasn't the film I expected it to be, but the film that it was really just, I don't know, gave me good feelings. Like I really, really enjoyed the film that it turned out to be. I thought this was going to be a more adult film. I thought it was going to be kind of a Da Vinci Code-ish type film. It turned out to be more of a Spy Kids / Flight of the Navigator type. They more kids.
I don't want to hear that. I didn't see Tomorrowland yet. I'm not liking what you're saying.
But I think that was a good thing. Like I would have liked the more adult film because the thing I saw, was with the mystery of this secret society that creates a land of tomorrow.
Right.
And but it was very kiddie with some of the fight scenes and. You know, robots and things like that, and just the fights and the villains were very kid-like. So it's a young adult film, and I think it does a very good job of that. And I think if I was that age, like, this film would be amazing. Like, I'd fall in love with this film. So I think this film was very underrated for whatever reason. People didn't really like it, but the elements of them incorporating the World's Fair and that feeling of Walt Disney really made it into this film. Walt Disney being a doer and a dreamer, and why can't we just be inspired by things? Why can't we just do things because they're fun? You know, why does everything need a solid purpose in life? Why can't we just be inspired by fun things? Because then that can inspire you to do even better things, and that's the tone of this film. And it's a very good message and very good visuals. As a Disney fan, there's a lot to geek out about, but I think it's not the film I expected it to be, but it's a very good film.
Well, you know, you gave me enough to still want to go see it. I have not seen Tomorrowland. It was on kind of my side list of, you know, this is not in my top 15 because everyone in my top 15 I've seen, but it's one of those that's kind of the bonus, so to speak, because I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see it. I want to believe in it. I want to like it. I think it's really cool that there is a Tomorrowland at Walt Disney World in the Magic Kingdom, so, and I frequent that a lot. So it was one of those things that I wanted to give a chance to. I just haven't seen it yet, and now I have to rent it and get a feel for it, but I'll kind of ride this wave with you, Nick. You kind of teeter-totter, went back and forth on that equator line, so it'll be interesting to see how I fall on it. But my number 7 was one that you had a little bit before at number 8, just one before, and that is the Avengers Age of Ultron. It made one step higher for me because I thought it was better than The Wedding Ringer, but my thoughts on the Age of Ultron is that Ultron is, and Marvel's been critiqued by not making their villains bad enough or dangerous enough. You know, Loki was a good villain. Ultron should have been a step up from Loki. Unfortunately, he wasn't. And I said I would have liked the movie a lot more if Ultron was Ultron, who I think he is in the comic books. And that would be that Ultron would say, okay, listen, I'm going to make all my minions, I'm going to put all these robots together, but instead of putting them all in one place, I'm going to send out a pack of my fellow, you know, my robots here that I'm going to control. I'm going to send out a bunch of them to California, and they're going to do something big. I'm going to send them out to New York. I'm going to send them out to Texas. I'm going to send them out to England. I'm going to send them out to France. I'm going to send them out to Italy. I'm going to send them out to Russia. And you have to disperse all of the Avengers, make basically each of them fight a war individually while the bigger Sokovia thing is going on. So you're trying to raise this land to create this meteor strike, so to speak, while all the Avengers are separated, while they're all fighting battles that they can't win. But Marvel didn't make that movie. Because if Marvel made that movie, the Avengers would have lost, and the world probably would have been wiped out. However, if you're going to have the character in your movie, you have to live up to who the character is. I made it number 7 because I thought that Avengers Age of Ultron made Ultron look weak and nothing, basically a shadow, if even that, of what the character is in the comics. I put it number 7 because I thought aesthetically pleasing, the Vision looked amazing. I think Paul Bettany did a great job. I think the character looked great on screen. So for that, the Vision kind of saved it to put it in my top 10. But Ultron should have been a lot more of a baddie than he was in this movie. And I almost want them to bring him back. I almost want Thanos to recreate him and send him out to do a better job the second time around, because I really wanted this movie to be more than it was. And it pains me to say that, because you don't want to have high expectations, but when it comes to Marvel movies, they kind of do it to you. Every time they put a movie out, you want it to be better than the last 10, 12, 13. So Avengers Age of Ultron, you didn't do it for me, but you did enough to get yourself in the top 10, and you can thank the Vision for that. Any thoughts on that, Nick, before we head to number 6?
No, I mean, you pretty much said it. I disagree with you on Ultron. I thought he was the best villain in the Marvel movies yet.
He could have been a lot better. He could have been a lot worse, a lot more dangerous.
I don't know the comic book history of him, but I
well, he's smarter than I think they gave him credit for.
Okay, all right. I agree with you about the Vision. Amazing.
So number 6, as we head here, what do you have as we're just outside of the top 5 of our top 15 movies of 2015? Who's at number 6?
Bridge of Spies, and not too much need to be said about this. It's classic Spielberg Hanks, and I think it's a wonderful, it has Spielberg's feel to it, and Tom Hanks did a remarkable job at the top of his game still, and it's a great true war story.
Do you know how people will look at us? The family of a man trying to free a traitor?
Every person matters.
Why are we hanging him? He's a star!
We need to know what the Russian is telling you.
We're not having this conversation.
Don't go Boy Scout on me.
Well, this movie did not make my list because I did not see it. However, it is right on the side. I have this little side list that I had talked about a moment ago, and that has the movies that I need to see that I believe are probably good. And so The Bridge of Spies, I trust Tom Hanks, and I'm sure that he would have made it somewhere in my top 15 had I seen it in the year 2015, but 2016, I'll have to make my way to see The Bridge of Spies. My number 6 was your number 10, Ant-Man. I thought that Ant-Man was a step better than Avengers Age of Ultron. I know Ultron had a lot of characters, but I really, honestly, I didn't know if I was going to buy into Paul Rudd as a superhero. I like him as a comedian. I like him in romantic comedies. I loved him in I Love You, Man, but for me to think about him, I really had to see the movie and be like, can he be a superhero? I thought that the friends that are with him through the process, I thought that they really brought some comedic relief, including T.I., the rapper. I thought it was good. And I said if this movie is going to do it for me, not just make my top 15 list, but if it's going to be a movie I like, it's got to truly look different. It has to show me a different world. And I loved Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and all those movies. So it kind of had that feel to it, but it was so much more. And I really just, I love the way that they did it because it's a different world than we've seen. The world, the universe, the multiverse of Marvel keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then with this movie, it got smaller by getting bigger. And I thought that the whole twist on that was really, really cool. And especially with this quantum realm, you're going to another part of the universe and you're actually expanding the Marvel Cinematic Universe with this quantum realm. So I think it's funny how the Avengers are now looking out into the galaxy to fight Thanos, while Ant-Man is going into the quantum realm, which is this tiny realm, while the rest of the guys are and the ladies out there are fighting this bigger war, but they're both equally important, if not just as important. And while all that's happening, Doctor Strange is going to be opening up a bunch of parallel universes as well. So I think for the sheer fact that this movie is a totally different movie than the other Marvel movies, which is hard to do at this point, because of the Doctor Stranges and the Ant-Mans and the Black Panthers, as long as they have good actors and the movie's done well, they're going to make my list. And that's why Paul Rudd and Ant-Man made my number six. As we make our top five now, the top five in our top 15 of 2015, Dan Tortora Broadcast Media Special, I hand it over to my partner here, Niccolo Cicero, for his 5-1, starting with number five. What made that cutoff in the five best movies for you of 2015?
I never expected to see this movie, but a friend went and said I had to go see it, and I'd love it. And I didn't even believe him. And then I went to see the movie Creed.
Pitches from the 10th round of the first fight, right? I heard about a third fight between you and Apollo. Behind closed doors. Is that true?
How do you know all this?
I'm a son.
And I fell in love with it. I thought it was an absolutely fantastic story. I don't know if it's considered part of the Rocky series, but it's my favorite Rocky movie. And it's a great updated version of the story. It's a touching story of, you know, the son of Apollo Creed and how Rocky Balboa mentors him. And it's just a touching story and wonderfully acted. I can't believe how well Sylvester Stallone acted in this movie.
Well, you know, I never saw a lot of the Rocky movies in their entirety, but I saw Rocky Balboa. And I really liked the dynamic of Sylvester Stallone and his son in the movie, and to see just how Rocky was at this point in his life. And it made me think, when Creed came out, I said, okay, I need to go see Creed because I like Michael B. Jordan and I wanted to give him respect. And he was bouncing back from Fantastic Four, which didn't do that well, and not his fault. I actually put that fault on a lot of the people that changed the story of the Fantastic Four completely. But I said, you know what? I need to go see Creed for Michael B. Jordan. But I also started to see more and more of it. And I was like, okay, this maybe could be another Rocky movie in its own right, even though it kind of stands alone. So Apollo Creed is connected. Rocky's connected. Yet this is still a standalone movie, which is hard to do. And I feel like they pulled it off in the background of it all, and then I honestly haven't been out to see it yet, so it is on my list with Bridge of Spies that I would very much venture to say, and based on what you just said, Nick, that it would sneak in, it would get into my top 15, probably fight my top 10. So I didn't get to see it. It's the only reason why it's not in it for me. My number 5 is a movie that I've been waiting a long time for. I saw the first one when I was 7, and I waited 20 plus years to see this movie done right. And Chris Pratt, kudos to you. Jurassic World is my number 5.
What kind of dinosaur they cooked up in that lab? Evacuate the island. She's a highly intelligent animal. She will kill anything that moves.
Jurassic World's on my list a little bit higher.
I figured it would be on your list. And it was hard for me to not put it in the top four, but there are other movies that I really just, I feel like there was more to them. Jurassic World, I thought it was good. My favorite part, I love the raptors. Anybody that knows me knows that the raptors are my favorite part. The fact that they had names and that their names were cool names is just Echo and Blue and everybody in the crew. I think that that's my favorite part, is that somebody can actually train these raptors that's a human being. That was really amazing. But the movie was done well. It was good. I wanted a little bit more, but I feel like I was like, I can't ask for too much. It's been a long time since they did it right. So Jurassic World is my number five. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we get to where it is on Nick's list. And now we'll go to number four and see if it's there, maybe a little bit higher. Nick, what do you have for four?
Jurassic World is a little bit higher right here. Right here, I put The Martian with Matt Damon.
Now, you can either accept that, or you can get to work.
This will come as quite a shock to my crewmates, and to NASA, and to the entire world. But I'm still alive. Surprise.
Never read the book. Need to actually go read the book, because I heard the book's fantastic. This movie was every bit as fantastic as I thought it would be, as I heard it would be, as I wanted it to be. I was totally engrossed. I love space. You know, I'm a big Castaway fan, the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks, and this has that kind of feel with the... It's just a very... Matt Damon had to do a great job here, and I'm a huge Matt Damon fan. Like, people make fun of me. I love both Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. And here, I just think Matt Damon did a wonderful job of making you really feel for the character, rooting for the character, and just worried, concerned. It had everything I wanted. It had that human element. It had space. It had it was just everything I wanted it to be and more. And it was a fantastic journey going on it with Matt Damon.
Well, Nick, when you said that people make fun of you because you're a big Matt Damon fan and also a big Ben Affleck fan, I think you need to let everybody know that it makes a lot more sense when you break it down to the fact that you came from the Northeast and you are also a New England Patriots fan and I believe a Red Sox fan, correct?
Yep.
So once you tell people that you're a Boston Red Sox fan and a New England Patriots fan, to say that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are some of your favorites, I feel like you become part of the norm at that stage of the game.
And that's fine. This was just an excellent movie. It was entertaining and it was suspenseful. I loved it.
Well, you know, what I love about doing this, and I hope for a lot of people listening it's doing the same thing, that doing these top 15 lists, and namely this one right now, the top 15 movies of 2015, I had movies that I had, like I said, on my list on the side that I feel like I should go see, and you've already put Bridge of Spies in there, you put Creed in there, The Martian was another one I thought about. So I feel like coming off of this list, I'm excited that I got some movies to watch, and you as well. So, you know, I feel like the list, for the purpose of what it's doing, is doing a little bit more, because you're kind of putting some credence to the fact that I feel like I need to go see movies like Creed and Bridge of Spies. But my number four will actually go to The Intern.
Retirement is an ongoing, relentless effort in creativity. Tried yoga, learned to cook, bought some plants, took classes in Mandarin. Believe me, I've tried everything. I just know there's a hole in my life, and I need to fill it.
Which is a movie with Robert De Niro looking to... His wife is no longer with us, and he is looking to do something with his life. Seems pretty bored with what's going on, and wants to get back in the game, and he goes and works for Anne Hathaway's company. And The Intern just... It hit on a lot of things for me. I love Robert De Niro. I like the comedy of the movie. I like the realism of the movie. I like that the movie can really happen in modern day. And above all things, the movie really taught a lot of lessons. And being a business owner that is a young business owner, I really could respect Anne Hathaway's story and her passion and her love for what she's doing. And there's something that she gets asked to do in the movie, and I'm not going to give it away if you haven't seen it, but it's one of the things that I would never do, and it's interesting to see how she kind of tackles that. So, you know, for being a business owner, it has a lot of meaning to me, and for Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway, who are great at what they do, the movie really holds its own, and it's It's a movie that can make you cry, and it can also make you laugh. And I feel like it was a pleasant surprise. So it made my top four because it did more in my personal life to kind of, you know, give me that kind of like kick in the pants of like, you're doing a good job, bud. And I really appreciate that movie for that.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm excited to see that movie. I'm definitely going to see it digitally when it comes out. And I love Van Hathaway. I love De Niro. So I'm very excited to see it.
Here is Stacy Tanner, owner of Olé Olé, talking about her restaurant's place in your community.
I look at being a leader, a local business that can give jobs back to the community. You know, our youth as well. I'm a mother, at first and foremost, and I see so many youth groups where we could help support them. Those messages go a long way to these kids. They see that leadership in the community, and it's just being that role model that I want to carry through our community. Other youth groups and organizations to lead in their community, and it carries through them throughout their life. Well, we are located in the Mattydale Shopping Plaza. My side faces Woody's Jerkwater, so we are literally neighbors. My husband and I. So we're kind of a side entrance. And that's on Brewerton Road in Mattydale. Our phone number is 455-5653 or 455-5-OLE.
Dan, this bouncing on these trampolines is so much fun.
I know. Why didn't we come here sooner?
I don't ever want to leave.
We don't have to. We're kind of doing the commercial like this right now.
And it seems like it's great for all ages.
It is fun for all ages.
I'd like to have my birthday party here.
They have birthday parties here all the time. You can dunk. You can play dodgeball. Wait, Nick, duck! You could go into the obstacle course. There's so many things to do here, Nick. And it's open all year round.
This seems pretty safe, too.
It is safe. It's for people of all ages. You can bring your family here. It's great for your body. It's great to get off some steam. It's great to have a good time. And all you have to do to book an event is call 315-948-3100.
Wait, Dan, what's that number again? I was bouncing.
315-948-3100.
Actually, is there a website I could go to?
Yeah, the website's getairsyracuse.com. It's just like we're doing right now. We're getting some air.
All right, Dan, I'm going to get more air, and then I'm going to go to that website to check out what other fun things I could do with Air Syracuse.
Yeah, you can find out more at getairsyracuse.com. You should really make your way over here. It's located right across from Driver's Village, 7687 Frontage Road in Cicero.
Get hopping!
Get air!
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at dreisigapparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com. And all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. FanHands.com. That's FanHands.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned? Visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub.
Woody's is going into its 13th year, and you know, we started out as a what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 360-inch TVs. Just a really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cubans. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the Buffalo Chicken Wraps.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Mattydale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York.
Well, now we've made it to our top three, and what we were very excited to see and went out and saw. So for our top three now, see if it's like yours, folks, for those of you listening in. I hope you're, as you're going along, I hope you make your top 15 list and cross-check and see if Nick and I are right there with you, or if you have different movies, and you can always feel free to share them with us on Facebook as well as Twitter. And the links to those, we've given them to you before. I'll give them to you at the end of the show. Our top three, Nick, we're going with you first. What's number three?
Well, these were my three most anticipated movies of the year, and none of them disappointed. Number three is Jurassic World. It was the Jurassic Park I wanted. It was it felt like Jurassic Park. A lot of people would say it was too similar. I don't care, because it gave me exactly what I wanted. Yeah. It gave me a great story. I loved seeing the open park. Which was great. I loved all the references to the original, the Jeeps and various things, the banner, different things like that. The dinosaurs looked fantastic. There were some new dinosaurs, and it was what I wanted out of a Jurassic Park movie. It doesn't have to be a great film. It was an entertaining movie. It was dinosaurs eating people and fighting each other. The dinosaur that was in the water was just incredible. Chris Pratt couldn't have been better. And Bryce Dallas Howard, don't forget her. Her growth throughout the movie was amazing to watch. And she just became kick-ass at the end, and it was awesome.
Anybody that can run in heels away from a T-Rex, I think, needs to get some respect for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, now, Jurassic World, you know, I want to talk about it a little bit more once you got to it on your list. So, I mean, I can definitely see why you put it at number three. It was hard for me not to. This movie, like I said, the raptors are my favorite. I thought the fight scenes were great. And I just, there was so much going down in the movie. And I think that above all things, there were two things I thought of. It's a park now, which kind of had like that SeaWorld feel to it. But it also had like Walt Disney World pieces to the movie. It had that. It had the monorail. There was just like little things where I'm like, okay, but it makes sense.
If you were a Magic Bands,
right? And if you were a park in modern day trying to do things, you know, and make your own, why not take the best of other parks out there and put your own twist on it? And so I really felt like the park wasn't only realistic in the fact of, you know, what it looked like on screen and, you know, how the dinosaurs looked, but I thought it was realistic in the sense of how would they make money, what would they go after, why would they try and genetically change a dinosaur. They got into the DNA that it's not just as easy as extracting DNA from a mosquito that's stuck in the sap of a tree, but we have to add other animals to it. I just thought like a lot of the backstory, a lot of what they're doing, I would love for them to do a movie just about the lab. I think just the dinosaurs that they're making would be pretty amazing, and that's going to have a piece, I think, in the next one to come is exactly what they're going to do with these stolen vials of dinosaur DNA. But I thought the cool thing about it was that it looked like a park that would actually be built if they could bring back dinosaurs. And it was only built on a very small part of the island, which makes me think of Walt Disney World that's only built on a third of its property. So what could they do next? And, of course, the T-Rex having his one shining moment like he always does makes you kind of feel for him as maybe the anti-hero, where he's not a villain, but he's not necessarily the bad one. So I really think the movie, for all that it was, I was happy to see it. And, you know, Nick, for you and I, this was a big movie moment. And when you said people critiqued it, that it was like too much like the original, what the heck is wrong with that? I think that's what it really comes down to. So you have that as your number three. And my number three is actually American Sniper.
I'm willing to meet my creator and answer for every shot that I took.
I'll pick it up.
Which I had to go back and check and make sure. It came out in January, so it counts, but it's been a long time ago. And American Sniper, I had to make sure that it was. And I thought that this might be one that was forgotten because it came out right after New Year's of 2014 into 2015. But American Sniper is my number three because the story is, it is a truly emotional story. And it is... It makes you ask a lot of questions you don't ask in typical life. When you're trying to figure out Burger King or McDonald's, I'm really pissed off that this person cut me off in traffic. And then you see the real big, huge, crazy things that people are handling in other parts of the world. And even in our neck of the woods, which is, it's pretty amazing. And the story of this movie, it just makes you want to know, it makes you appreciate, it makes you think about things that you didn't think about before. And, you know, the ending obviously was the ending of real life, and it's a very, very sad ending. And the moment that you see it coming in that last look, you're like, oh my god, you know, like, this is it, like, this is the end. And then they show actual footage of the funeral and people honoring Chris Kyle in real life. And that just got you even more. And I was told going into the movie, there will be, at the end, once the credits hit, once the movie ends, you're going to have a silent theater for about 10 or 15 minutes. And nobody's going to say anything. And I was like, yeah, but why? And then my wife and I went to go see it. And we're sitting in the theater. And the credits start rolling. And there's dead silence. You can, like, hear almost the hum in the air. And nobody's saying anything. And I got it. Right after that final scene and those tears in your eyes. And why is it silent in the theater? It's like, it's almost an ode to Chris Kyle. And the silence is also out of respect. And it was amazing how I was like, why would you be silent in a movie when it ends and the lights come on? But everybody was. So this movie was... It's hard to really tell the story of somebody and not be critiqued like crazy, as Concussion was. But I feel like Chris Kyle's story was held up well by Bradley Cooper and by the whole team for American Sniper. And if you haven't seen it, you really need to go see it. It will definitely make even the hardest person have a little bit of feel for it and emotion toward it. So that's why I made my top three, because it almost had to make my top three.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect movie. I didn't realize it came out this year, because I guess it was limited release in 2015, and that's what I saw. But I guess it was a wider release in 2014, then a wider release in 2015. But yeah, no, it's a perfect movie.
Well, we have now made it to our top two. I still have one of the movies that Nick mentioned a while ago is still on my list, so it's either going to be two or one. We'll find out what that is in just a minute here. But for you, Nick, let's go to you now. What movie was good but not good enough to make number one?
Number two was Inside Out.
I'm joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust.
And that's fear.
We're Riley's emotions.
It was a perfect movie. It was a Pixar film. And it's... one of the top, automatically, it came out of theater, one of the top three Pixar films of all time. I don't know where exactly I'd rank it with Up and Toy Story 3, but it's right there. It doesn't give you the characters that a lot of the Pixar films give you, but it gives you every inch of that emotional quality of a Pixar film, and it's possibly the most. And for that reason, it's right there. A lot of comedic moments, obviously, but it's probably the most touching film that Pixar has ever made.
I liked Inside Out, but I was told that I had to keep waiting for this moment. Everybody's going to cry. There's just this moment, and you're going to get emotional, and something's going to happen, and everybody cried in the theater. And my wife and I watched it at home, and I kept waiting for that moment, and then the movie ended, and then the credits happened. And I didn't think it was a bad movie, but I think the hype had something to do with it for me, that I was like, okay, well, what? And I think Toy Story, in opposition to what you said, I thought Up did make me emotional a few times and made me laugh. Toy Story and Toy Story 3 and had those emotional moments too. I didn't think that Inside Out lived up to that. I almost put them on my list somewhere in this maybe 10 to 15 range, but I left it off because I felt like as good as it was for what it was, I kept waiting for the moment that was going to emotionally grab me and spin me in another direction, and it didn't happen for me. So I did not have Inside Out on my list for that reason. Was there a moment for you that got to you in that movie?
Pretty much everything. Bing Bong, that was the moment probably people told you about, and then the ending. It was fantastic.
So the fact that her imagination went away.
Yeah.
I thought what we were going to find out, in all honesty, the way that people were playing it to me, I thought we were going to find out that the girl who were seeing all these emotions inside her head, I thought we were going to find out that these things were shutting off and stuff was happening, because it was going to be the bigger story about finding out that your kid has, like, a problem. Not a problem, but that your kid has something like a chemical imbalance or they're depressed. I thought it was going to be like this bigger emotional story of, like, finding out that your child just has not a disease, but some type of chemical imbalance, and it's the family trying to, like, make her happy again. That's what I thought it was going to be. I was like, I could see Disney going really deep and shocking everybody, and I think that's what I was waiting for. I know that's what I was waiting for, and that's why I felt like the movie didn't do it for me, because the way people played it off to me is, like, this girl might, like, go off the deep end, but then she might not come back. And I thought that maybe that was going to be the story, that it was going to essentially end that way, just like with Up. Up has a happiness to it, but it always carries the sadness of the fact that his wife never got to where she wanted to be, and she passed away.
Oh, okay. No. Didn't go that way.
So it didn't go that way, and that's why I didn't make my list. My number two was Nick's number 13. So a little bit of difference here, but made our top 15 list. My number two is Trainwreck. And it's my number two because, as I said before, it's hard to find a good comedy these days. It's hard to find a good comedy you will see more than once, which I did. And Amy Schumer, I run away from her stuff, and yet I went to go see this movie because my wife was like, oh, I want to see it. And I was like, all right, well, let's go see it. Well, give it a shot. And Amy Schumer, who I normally think has, like, dirty, raunchy comedy, even in the dirty, raunchy moments of this movie, I liked her. And I liked all the other characters in the movie. So I have nothing bad to say about Trainwreck. And because it was a pleasant surprise, and it made me laugh so much, and Bill Hader had a bigger role than he normally does in a movie, and I like seeing movies with him now, former SNL cast star. So for me, this movie was everything that I didn't know it was going to be. And I like watching it on a day where you're a little bit sad, or maybe it's a little bit rainy outside, flip on Trainwreck and make yourself laugh for a couple hours, and then you're good to go again. And I thought it wasn't supposed to be what it was to a lot of people. Yeah. And it was my dark horse, and my dark horse that ran all the way to the end of the race. I don't really feel like at this point now, as we go to our top movie of 2015, that I really need to ask you the question, or ask myself the question, or ask anybody listening the question. I feel like we would probably have pitchforks at the house, like Beauty and the Beast, if we didn't answer this question properly. But for the sheer notion of it all and the fact that we have to do this. Nick, what is your number one movie? It doesn't feel right to say. What is your number one movie of 2015?
A very easy choice. And this one didn't disappoint. Lived up to every inch of hype.
Was it Pitch Perfect 2?
Pitch Perfect 2. Better than, like, it was a sequel that was better than the original. No. Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
There are stories about what happened.
No doubt here. I've talked about this film so much, so many times, so I could easily sum it up now. It was very similar to A New Hope, the first Star Wars film. Now that I've seen it a couple times, I've really come to terms with it. It's really hard to say this is the best Star Wars film of all time. But when I really put... And I don't think this film could be as emotional, as good as it is, if you didn't already know some of the characters. Han Solo, Princess Leia, things like that. However, I think the easiest way to sum it up is this is a better version of New Hope. It's a more modern version. It fixes all the problems with A New Hope, dialogue-wise, effects-wise, things like that. It updates A New Hope, gives you fairly similar story, a lot of parallels, with amazing characters, great dialogue, great comedy, great drama, great emotional aspects. It couldn't have been done without the originals. It couldn't be as emotional without the originals. Couldn't be as amazing without the originals, because, I mean, the Millennium Falcon's not even a human character, and it's one of the best, you know, actors in the movie. But it does everything New Hope did, but better. And so for that reason, it's really hard for me not to rank this as possibly the best Star Wars film of all time, with the caveat it couldn't have been done without the previous three.
I think it's easy to say that it's number one. I think it's easy to say that it's going to break records. I think it's easy to say that there will be new Star Wars fans with the Force awakening inside of them today, tomorrow, the next day, and for years to come. But for you to say that it could be the best one ever is some big words. And I feel like there needs to be some background to this. I feel like there's music that just goes to this. Just really special music that kind of changes the game. Music that makes everybody wake up and appreciate it. And so my BB, my Sphero BB-8, is now turned on next to me as we tell this story of The Force Awakens, because I feel like BB almost has to have a place in this. He is my favorite character of Star Wars The Force Awakens for so many different reasons. He is a rolling soccer ball, which is amazing. He's like the updated R2-D2, and I love R2, but I love my guy over here. I love my BB-8, who's now looking around my studio while I speak. I needed to have some feel to it here, so I'm going to let him run around while I tell my story here. But Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Lupita Nyong'o, Andy Serkis, the list goes on and on. Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca is back. This movie, for all that, you know, people have been hoping for years and years and years that another movie would be made. And to wait so long and to make it and to do it the way that they did it, I really can honestly appreciate and respect it. I will say to you right now, as we're talking here, Nick, that I didn't grow up a fan of Star Wars. You know, I didn't run to go see the Star Wars movies, and it wasn't a big thing for me personally. But my cousins were huge Star Wars fans. Nico and Miguel loved going out and seeing them. They had all the books. They had those books that had the encyclopedias and the histories of all the planets and the characters, and they treated it like it was real life. They treated it like it was a history assignment when they sat down at my grandmother's table and opened up these books upon books of, Dan, you need to learn everything Star Wars. But I was never there with them in that respect. The Force Awakens, finding out there was going to be a new one, I little by little got more and more interested until I got really excited. I went opening night, and I had already fallen in love with BB-8, and I was like, that's going to be my favorite character, I know it. Loved seeing what he did in the movie, he was very funny. And after seeing the movie, I was like, okay, you know what, Star Wars? I think you got a new age Star Wars fan out of me. You changed the game. And it really made me care about it. And
that was the magic of the film. The film was perfection because it was exactly what it needed to be for everybody. For Disney, this was the perfect film, and this did exactly what they needed it to do. And so you're living proof of that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I am. I am living proof of the fact that Disney could create new fans and get people into it, to have a new hope for the future, so to speak.
So there you go. We had a lot more matches on this list than we did on our songs list. I don't think we had any on our songs list.
Yeah, BB is making a lot of noise over here. I think he might be hungry. But now this, I mean, Star Wars was amazing. You can't say enough about it. We could do a whole show about it. We probably will. But Star Wars The Force Awakens, it's number one. I almost feel like it had to be, or else there were going to be SWAT team kicking in the windows of our studios here. But
agreed.
Top 15 of 2015, the movies, we have done it. Star Wars made the cut. Nick and I, just to go down here really quick, did agree that Concussion, Trainwreck, Ant-Man, as well as Age of Ultron, Jurassic World, and Star Wars all should be on this list. So like Nick said, a lot more we agreed upon, just different numbers, except for when it came to the most important one. And we thank you for listening in. Top 15 of 2015 movies has been done and completed. And I thank my partner, Nicolo Cicero. Myself, I'm Dan Tortora. You can find everything on wakeupcalldt.com. And you can listen to this show and so much more on wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. And on largerthanlifedt.podbean.com/mobile. I'm going to go play with BB-8 here. Nick and I will be back for more, so make sure you listen to the next show. And as always, Nick, thank you so much for giving your thoughts and everything that you give to this world. When I say I have the best producer in the world, I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, lie to the people. So, Nick, thank you for all you do, and thank you for your part in the show today.
Thank you, Dan.